Second, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. We have three ayes and one abstain. Thank you. And we have the minutes for the consent calendar. I need a motion. We have a motion. We have a second. We have one abstain. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. With that said, we are going to turn the meeting over to Joe Newton. And Joe, if you could come up to the podium, identify yourself for the record. You will have the floor, sir. We are going to step back either into our seats or in the audience. Thank you, Joe.
Great. Yes, good evening. My name is Joe Newton. I'm the actuary that works with the city's pension plans and retiree medical program. And we're here to give you an update on the status of those programs as of June 30, 2024, and to, more importantly, give you the budget numbers for fiscal 2026 into these programs. And in general, if you want to ask questions as we go, can help the discussion. So what we're going to do is first look at the comprehensive funding strategy the city put in place 2 years ago, which creates those 2026 budget estimates. We're going to give you some the trends on the pension plans and in the post-retirement plan, and then show you a couple projections, including the sensitivity analysis on these results. Currently, the city manages four pension plans and then one post-retirement health care program. Three of the pension plans for the municipal employees, police, and fire are open, so new people are going into those three programs. There's an old police fire one pension fund that was closed in the 90s. It is all retirees, essentially, now, and so it's funded on a quite different basis, as you'll see. The post-retirement health care plan is what provides the retiree health care, and up until just this year, that has historically been what is called pay-as-you-go, which is just what are the premiums for this year. We'll just pay that out of the general fund. And you can see that part of the comprehensive funding strategy is to begin to put money aside for those plans, just like the pension plans, to help over the long term. So to remind everyone, this was approved by the city council a couple years ago of how the funding is created for these different programs. The strategy was to pool them together from the city's perspective and to put a growth rate on it so that the dollar amounts will grow in a rate that should be sustainable over the long term. And so you can see the 2.5% growth rate is what has been put into place. So the fiscal 25 budget across all the different programs was $55.2 million. That grown at 2.5% sets the fiscal 26 budget at $56.6 million for all those different programs. Then the strategy turns around, takes the 56.6, allocates what's needed to the plans that are open, and then the balance falls into the OPEB trust. So the OPEB trust is actually becoming the risk mitigation tool and part of the strategy. We'll show you that in detail in a second. The advantages to this is it, one, decreases your costs long-term substantially. If you think about it, if you owe $1,000 to someone, the more investment earnings you can help generate to help pay that $1,000 down the road, the less you actually have to put aside now. And to give you an idea what that would be, if all of your plans were fully funded, which means all of the debts of the past had been paid off, this year's contribution to all of these programs would only be about $15 million. As it is, as we said on the last slide, it's about $56 million. So the vast majority of your current contributions are actually going to pay for the past. It's actually to pay off the debts. This plan is moving you towards getting rid of those over time. Within 25 years, we would project that all of the programs would be unfunded liability to zero. The other big advantage is it provides a lot more predictability in your annual budgets with the 2.5% growth rate per year across the programs, because some of the individual programs move a lot more than that. By pulling them together, we're getting much more stability. It also is a rate, 2.5%, that should be over time less than the growth of your budget, so that every year it's becoming a little bit smaller piece of your budget as we go forward. That's going to ensure benefit security, because if the city can meet its obligations, that gives us the employees the most security that they'll actually get the benefits they expect. Here's the results of the funding. This is the contributions in millions for the different programs. The top three of your are your open plans, municipal, fire, and police. In general, we expect the open plans to grow at about 2.75% a year. You can see all three grew a little faster than that this year, heavily due to salary increases being higher than our current expectations. That's been a pretty common trend across most of our clients in the high inflation environment recently, has been salary increases a little higher. And so what that does to our model, we have assumptions built in that there will be certain salary increases, but when they're higher than expected, it means we now project a little higher benefits for those individuals than we did before, and we have to make up that difference. There's been plenty of years in the past when it was lower, so it's kind of one of those ups and downs, but that's, you can see the trend this year across those three was higher than expected. The Police Fire One program is a closed program, mostly retirees, as you'll see in a couple slides, very low funded ratio, and the city is funding that on basically a pay-as-you-go look. So paying the benefits through the trust fund to the extent that the plan is unfunded. This can be very predictable, and that's actually one of the mechanisms giving room to be able to buy the 2.5% growth rate over time. The retiree medical premiums, which is just how you've always funded the retiree medical program, you can see in 2025 is around $15.1 million. 2026 currently projected to be around $15.5 million. 2.6% growth in that claims is actually quite favorable. You know, healthcare trend over time has been, 4, 5, 6%. So that was actually a favorable outcome there. And finally, the OPEB trust contributions, $1.1 million this year, 1.5 next year. So if you add all that up, combined budget, the 55.2 grows to 56.6. And again, the way the funding strategy works is we actually solve for that bottom line first. We say, okay, well, last year was 55.2. How does that grow at 2.5%? We get to 56.6. And then we go back in and fill in the different pieces. And if there's anything left over, that goes into the OPEB trust. And so that's how the 1.5 is created. Now, compared to payroll, you can see it's quite a large percentage. So the total payroll for 2026, we project 60.6 million. So that's about 93.4% of pay across all those programs. But you can notice the percentage is getting smaller. So it's 93.4, it was 94.4. And that's the strategy. It should work that way. We should start to be smaller and smaller and smaller part of the budget, even though it is quite a bit of a large number right now. Any questions?
Sure. Would you just explain that last part again, sure. The percentage of payroll?
Sure. So the if you take the, let's just use 2026, for example, 56.6 divided by the 60.6 gives you around 94%, 93% pay. So that, as a standalone number, is a significant number. You can see as of last year, it was 94.4. And so since that 56.6, the total you're allocating of these is growing at 2.5% a year. And I'll show you that it's very high probability that that is what it's going to be. As long as your total payroll, or we'll say the budget of the city, is growing faster than 2.5, then every time you turn around to do a new budget, it should be a little bit smaller piece, right? Which should increase the likelihood you can meet it. Right. I mean, it's a big burden, but it would be an even bigger burden if it was big and growing faster than everything else. Okay. So, and that's really one of the reasons the strategy was put in place, because that retiree medical premiums row was that. It's a big number growing fast. So that's bad. Right. And so this strategy tries to bring all that down to that 2.5% growth rate over time.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
One other question.
Sure.
Thank you. What happens if payroll grows more slowly than the combined budget for the various pension and OPEB, otherwise
sure.
retiree medical premium contributions?
Right. So I think in that type of year, your pay, if your payroll is growing slower, well, it probably means your budget's growing slower. I mean, those things are, your payroll is a big part of your budget, right? And so, yeah, that would be the opposite. In that given year, the dollars would likely be, might be become a little bit bigger part of your budget that you're having to deal with. The issue is a lot of these dollars are paying for the unfunded liabilities you already have. And they, so they kind of have to happen. There's not a lot of movement now kind of where you are and what these dollars will be.
I suppose to follow up on that, generally speaking, looking back at the last 5 years, 10 years, over that period of time, have the various retiree benefits, pension, OPEB, tended to grow faster than the payroll or vice versa?
Yes, I would say, yeah, it's been a pretty constant trend the last 10 years that it grew faster in payroll in total. A lot of that on the pension side was changes into assumptions that we don't anticipate again. So we would anticipate these dollars to be much more stable and to not grow the faster. The retiree medical could, but as we'll show you in a minute, there's actually a source to help offset some of that so that the total has a very high likelihood of staying at that 2.5.
Okay, and just to clarify too, in addition to the structure of the retiree benefits, would you say another factor in that is simply that the ratio of active employees to retired employees, the ratio has grown such that every year there tend to be more retirees receiving benefits as opposed to active employees? I remember it was sometime some years ago while I was on the council that that ratio switched such that it crossed the number of retirees exceeding the number of active employees.
Right.
Okay. Thank
so,
you.
Yep. Yes. Well, that is built into our estimates here. What becomes more true the more retirees you have per active like that is you just have less flexibility because you have to retiree, you have to meet that obligation right now. This is actually stemming from, you know, the fact that, for example, the retiree medical program was never funded in advance like the other plans, right? The same thing for the police fire one, even though there's been funding for the last 20 years, for most of its history, it wasn't. And so it's really those past years when they weren't funded where most of this comes from now. And so you can see how compound interest and why it's so important to be prudent and put the money aside while the person's working so that a future city council doesn't have to have this conversation.
On your assumptions, payroll, will you define payroll for us? Because I'm looking at three different items on payroll and the calculations are different.
Right. This number that I'm using is the pensionable payroll for the different groups. And yes, the definitions are slightly different between the different categories, but this would be payroll that is applicable towards calculating pension benefits. For the fire and police, it's actually the payroll that's also used for contributions. For the muni, it's not quite one-to-one like that, but yeah, it's my pensionable payroll. So if there's some payroll not included in those categories, then it wouldn't be in this exhibit. But it is consistent from 25 to 26 as far as how those payrolls were determined. Sure.
You had touched on the OPEB a moment ago. So can you explain to us why we've made somewhere around, I believe, $1 million or so contribution into this plan, but yet that has had a reduction in our long-term exposure of somewhere around $100 million for putting in, basically we're putting in a dime and you know we're taking out off the charts $1 million. Explain how that happens and explain what the risk could be when you have that type of an assumption, I'll say.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a great question. Let me answer it in a couple slides. I think I'll have a number that'll help me say it a little easier, but that's a great question because you're right. That It's an intuitive, unintuitive carrot that was given by the accounting world for this. And so we'll talk about that in a second. Okay, so this is the funded ratio of the different programs. So what the funded ratio says is what's owed today to all your members already. So not taking anything into the future necessarily. So for a retiree, it's everything. But for someone with 10 years of service, it's just those 10. It's not the future. It's just right now. How much of that do we have covered by assets right now? And so you can see the top three plans that are the open plans who have been funded appropriately since day one are all above 80% funded and generally trending in the right way. This year, Fire 2 took a step back. Again, it was those salary increases that were the hesitancy there, but we do expect those to continue to improve. And it's really those bottom two. Police Fire 1, which again was not funded at all and advanced till the 90s. And then it really, the strategy was never really intended to fully fund it. So now we're basically on a pay-as-you-go basis on that one, but it should become smaller and smaller part of the total puzzle as we go forward. I'll show you that in a second. The retiree medical program, you can see, as was discussed just the question before, it was zero. You're now beginning to fund it. So it's 1.3% funded, which there's two ways to look at that, right? One is that's horrible. The second is, well, that's actually infinitely more funded than it was 2 years ago. So what is it? It's all about trends and the purpose. So
To clarify for the record, it was my understanding, and please correct me if I'm missing something, it was my understanding that in the 1990s, it was enacted the 40-year plan with the intent to fully fund Police Fire 1 in approximately 40 years, which would have been around the year fiscal year 2037.
Right.
And it was, I think it was about 2-3 years ago that the City Council approved mayor's proposal to deviate from that plan. So I think that it was the first 26, 27 years or yep. so, it was the intent to fully fund that.
Right.
Thank you.
At the 40. The reason that was recommended by me through, and then you know, City Council approved a few years ago, is that the risk reward just wasn't there for continuing on that path that you were on, that you're going to put a lot of money aside and still have risk. Whereas now, this more straightforward approach is a lot less risky, costs about the same, if not less. And you're putting money into the retiree medical program, which has a long runway to help you generate a lot of investment earnings. So it's just a better use of money. But yes, that's a good point. Okay, so the unfunded liability is the dollar amount that's owed to the members beyond what current assets are in any sort of a trust fund. And so you can see with these dollars amount, $628.6 million this year. That's about a $12 million decrease. And that's really the trend we want, right? We want this debt, for lack of a better word, to continue to decline. And you can see just from 2021, it's down from 763. But a lot of that's from the retiree medical program from the question a while ago. So when the retiree medical program was totally unfunded, then when we valued it, we had to use basically bond yields as or almost inflation discount. That because it was all coming out of the city's budget, it needed to be valued like anything else in the city's budget, any sort of finance or anything. There was no advanced funding. So we had to use, say, a 3% discount rate to come up with that liability. Well, once the city is putting a funding plan in place that will begin to accumulate in assets that should throw off investment earnings in the future and help us pay the benefits, it's a huge carrot given by the accounting world that we get to immediately use say a 6.9% return that you're going to accumulate assets and those will be help to use to pay the benefits later immediately. So if you think about like if you buy a bond with a 3% yield versus a 6% yield, it's that kind of a change that you get right off the bat because you need to put less money aside now that grows at 6.9 than you'd have to put a lot more aside if it only grows at 3.
But Joe, using that formula with, as you can see, such a drastic reduction, doesn't that present a false financial picture?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In a big way.
It could. It could if it's gained, I'm sorry about the sound here. So if, let's say that you guys decide to scrap the funding program and instead just keep putting a million or two in it every year, like you really never intend to actually follow through with the whole strategy, then yes, I would argue that that's manipulating. That's, that is not being transparent to the users or anyone, because you don't actually plan to ever use these assets to help pay the benefits.
So what would we have to contribute to meet that plan?
The 1.5 this year, and then we just need to continue to follow the strategy. And I'll show you what that looks like as we go forward.
An additional 1.5 per year?
Right. But, well, it's a little bit more than that. You'll see in a minute. It becomes more than that. But yeah, this funding strategy meets all the requirements to be able to say this is being fully funded and we can use the 6.9. It was very interesting, the conversations that came to this conclusion and people saying, yeah, this is being manipulated or it's not quite transparent. I think part of the point was they wanted to give a big carrot for people to start doing the right thing and start putting money aside for these. And so they wanted to give you a very leveraged, basically, hey, I out of my next year's budget, I got to put 5 million in, but I get 100 million of benefit on my balance sheet. And then also now it's working the other way, right? If you guys decided, hey, we can't do that 1.5 million out of next year's budget. Okay, well, your balance sheet was just impacted by 100 million the other way, because we got to immediately turn around and go the other way. So it's kind of locking you in, if that makes sense.
So as opposed to putting in this funding into this OPEB thing, which it's going to take years and years and years before this thing even comes to like a neutral line, right?
Mm-hmm.
What different effect would it have on our financial picture, let's say over the next 10 years, because that's, I think, pretty much where the crossroads are with this OPEB thing before mm-hmm. it even becomes to get close. What would be the difference if the increase in contributions and copays to healthcare and increasing the cap on prescription drugs, as well as eliminating lifetime healthcare for new hires and putting in a copay on retirees?
Mm-hmm.
How would that differ than this possible false financial picture? Doing the latter, what I just said, that would be real. That's real dollars.
Yeah.
How would that affect it? Have you done anything, any equation on that?
Not at that level of precision. It's assumed trend, medical trend, will go out into the future, you know, 5-6% a year for a while and tip down to, say, 3% per year, you know, eventually, type of a thing. Part of built into that is that you will be, you know, managing your plan. That can be changing copays a little bit, deductibles one way or the other. So it's not quite precise in that. Now, we could show you next year's impact of doing something like that, but it's hard to say, well, that means somebody 16 years from now, value is a lot different because of that kind of decision you made now. Now, the part on the new hires, we'll say, no, we're going to change the plan for new hires to be, say, substantially limited compared to the current people. As we get to the projections in a minute, basically it means you would reach those advantageous years sooner. It might mean you could grow at 2% instead of 2.5% type of a strategy and still get there. You know, if you're not going to pay out the same benefits, then there's no reason to fund it exactly the same way, right? There has to be a give there. But I think right now where the strategy is, and it's so early, that those types of, it just, I don't think it would move these numbers much currently for those kinds of changes. But it would have been, as they came through though, it would impact, you know, as we actually got out to year 10 and 15.
Well, when this was first talked about back in 2018, and at the time, I think healthcare for a family plan was something around $18,000 a year, where right. Today it's $24,000-ish or so. Back then, with what I just put out there, increasing the copay by 5%, increasing the cap on prescription drugs, eliminating lifetime health care for new hires, and putting a copay in for retirees over a $35,000 pension. At that time, we were talking about a $5 million savings per year, right? You were involved, I believe, in putting together those numbers with us. Now, $5 million is certainly a much larger contribution than 1.5. And you take that and you continue forward over a period of 10 years or 20 years. If you were putting together the plan for this long-term solution to where we're heading, would you recommend that plan, or would you recommend putting in a $1.5 million contribution, assuming we have the money to do it, assuming we have the money for something that won't even become a break even until probably at least 10 years?
Right.
Which would you
advise? I would, in that case, I would keep this strategy, and then it would be up to the city council to decide. So let's use this number here, because the 15.5 is the retiree medical premiums that are being paid this coming year. Now, when you said your number drops 5 million, I'm just going to assume that's all retiree. You probably mean across.
No, that was total. So let's say the savings for the 5%, increasing the cap on prescription drugs, that's across, et cetera.
Right. So let's just say 2 million of that is retiree, round number. At that point, the city would have what I see as two options. The first would be, now you don't need 15 and a half on the fifth line down. You can do 13 and a half, right? And so you could put, you could be the conservative approach and go ahead and put 3.5 into the OPEB trust and keep your totals the same. That would be one option. Or because you've made that kind of distinct change that's pretty material in next year's budget, you could lower the 56.6 by the same 2 million and kind of reset the whole table. Does that make sense? So if you're going to have 2 million of savings next year that you know from that kind of pension or actual benefit change, you could go ahead and recognize it in your totals and then keep the same strategy from there forward. Does that make sense?
But isn't this financial cliff, doesn't it continue to grow, as Councilman Ricks pointed out and we spoke about at the meeting just a little while ago, was my question about, we have more retirees than we have active employees.
Right.
That's going to continue to grow. That's nothing that's going to stabilize, possibly slightly through attrition, but more than likely, that's a number that's going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
And that is going to also be a significant increase over years into free lifetime health care, is it not? Which is being paid by a much smaller group that are going to work every day.
Yes.
Okay.
If that's how the trends work. Now, your current membership, that's built in, so that's not going to move these numbers. But I agree, from a planning, running a city perspective, it becomes more burdensome, and that's one of the reasons why getting these things funded, so that once someone's retired, you're no longer putting current money towards the retirees. It's all already done. It's much better strategy long term for this very case. That's a good question, though. Okay, so here is the projection of, so if you take, this row here with all the different plans and say, okay, what do we expect this to look like as we go forward?
Joe, before you move forward.
Go ahead, question. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
just a point of clarification. The rules on the amount of time given to our speakers, not our presenter, but the speakers being the council members, still holds during the presentation. Just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Thank you. And so this assumes that all of the different trust funds earn what's currently assumed, which is 6.9% returns going forward every year. So it's just a static current assumption projection for the different budgets. If you look on the far right, total employer, that's you, the city contribution across all the different plans. The third one down, there's that 56.6 that we've been talking about. Column 9, you can see, is the annual rate of growth. And so this projection assumes that 2.5% growth annually you know, for at least this next decade. And then we go back and fill in the different programs and what they need. And really, that's columns 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Those are independent variables that are going through their own process. And then the balancing item becomes number 7, which is whatever's left over that goes into the OPEB trust. Now, you'll notice between 26 and 27, there's a substantial increase in what's going into the OPEB trust. It jumps from $1.5 million to $7 million that year. That is because if you go to the left, you see the municipal plan drops from 9.1 million down to 3.8. The way these plans are funded, there's amortization structures put in place where if there's a debt owed, we put a payment plan, 20-year payment plan, and you'll pay that off the next 20 years. There's a big one that ends in 2026. And so you're going to get a drop in the budget for that plan that year. And the way the funding strategy is that the city continues to go up to 2.5, and that just slides right over into the OPEB trust, and that actually becomes what gets us to be able to use the 6.9 in the financial statements for that trust. It also is going to move you closer to being funded across all the programs, not just municipal. And then the third thing, as I'll show you in the next slide, that's where your risk mitigation is coming. That's where you get a lot of stability, even if returns aren't there. Column 7 becomes what's going to help pay for everything else if the returns aren't there, instead of the city's contributions going up by more than 2.5% a year. And in fact, I'll show you that now. So this is the same projection. It's just saying, okay, what if returns are 5.9 a year, not just next year, but every year going forward? You can see in column 8, the city's contributions are exactly the same. They grow at the 2.5%. It's just less is going into column 7. And what's happening is 2, 3, and 4 especially are growing a little bit faster than currently assumed because the returns aren't there. So we're having to contribute more to those. But this is how it's a full strategy, not just looking at individual plans. But you can see, and actually I can run this out another 10 years, it's still steady. You have to get returns below 5% before the 2.5% doesn't work. For the next 15 years or so. So there's quite a bit of stability here, but it's one of those situations. The reason there's so much stability here is because you're in a pretty tough spot now. It's the past large unfunded liabilities that actually make it a little more stable, even, but it's very costly. You're kind of shifting risk and cost. Anyway. So just to summarize, and then we can take any more questions. You know, it's a very strong position. As you can see, it's quite predictable and has managed risk, but it is a pretty significant burden. And there should be, you know, sustainability and secure benefits if it is followed. Are there any more questions or about any of this or anything else?
Joe, how would you rank our financial position, or let me rephrase it, how would you compare our financial condition now, today, as opposed to where you had ranked us or rated us, say, 6 years ago?
Yeah. I think it's in a lot better position, not only on the pension side, which I think the pension plans are in about the same position they were. There was just, if you remember, there was, when we changed the investment return assumption from 7.5 down to 6.9, that produced a lot of unfunded liabilities, and the city had to phase into that and absorb that into the budget. And anytime that there's that kind of phase in, there's risk that the city can't do that, right? And so the fact that we're past that is a strong position, and as far as I'm concerned, that we're now past that and the city's budget should now be stable. On the retiree medical program, it's light years better. As far as likelihood, it actually will work. Unfunded programs for retirees, or if you're not putting enough money in for any plan for retirees, I've always kind of taken that as you've already decided to change the benefits. You just haven't decided when or for who. Because if you can't afford it, why can someone else afford more later, right? So the fact that you're now putting money aside and have a funding strategy that fits in the budget you already have, that should be growing slower than the rest of your budget, you know, in most scenarios. To me, that increases the likelihood that it works, right? It's no guarantees, but it is a very strong position compared to, say, a lot of your peers other than in Rhode Island that, you know, haven't even been begun funding their pension plans, much less, you know, the retiring medical. So
thank you. Any other questions from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
So for many years, even before I was on the city council and I was elected back in 2016, we were hearing the phrase thrown around that the city was beyond the point of no return. How does our financial picture vary from what was the analysis back then? I don't know if you would have agreed with that analysis or not.
I wouldn't agree that the pension plans were at a point of no return. Now, if that's a more macro level, just the city itself, you know, its total budget, when you look at everything, I didn't necessarily, you know, I don't know everything y'all are doing, so I can't, you know, make that. But I think as far as, because I know this is a big part of y'all's budget, and so now you have a big part of your budget supposed to grow at about inflation, very predictable. So from that perspective, whatever your likely, you know, whatever your likelihood of not being able to meet it before, this has to be, have increased that. And so then it's really you as a city council to decide, well, is 2.5% is that too much? Or is that something we can do? Like those are decisions that are, you know, I don't have the insight into y'all's inner workings to be able to make that decision. But in general, it should be able to grow at inflation. And that's what the current strategy expects.
So that is previous analyses that I heard in my earlier years on the city council. It would refer to the city budget as a whole, because of course it would be possible for the city to make good on its pensions. Of course it would be possible for the city to make good on its OPEB liabilities. Of course it would be possible for the city to maintain its infrastructure and make its payroll. But then the question arises, can we do all of the above at the same time? Because if we're not doing all of the above at the same time, we have a problem.
Right.
And so the previous analyses in those early years of that I had on the city council, part of it would involve a five-year projection. They would often term it as kind of the vanilla budget of making an assumption that there would be no additional new programs, employee levels would stay exactly the same, that raises would be at certain levels reflective of the history of raises, that inflation and the like would be at those same historic levels, rates of return on investment, same historic levels, and then project 5 years out, approximately what would we be looking at for annual tax increases to keep up with all of that. And I suppose that a question I have about the approach used in, well, I suppose two questions about the approach used in per the presentation this evening. First question is, it seems that part of the assumption here is that payroll would continue to grow, and ideally, I suppose, for the purpose of these calculations, payroll growing faster or at a similar pace to the retiree benefits being paid. But I'm not sure if the city actually paying more in payroll is necessarily consistent with the city having overall great financial health, because if all of the costs keep going up and up, we do have to pay for all of that. But then I suppose my second question is that if we were to treat OPEB similar to the three active open pension plans, where we have annual required contributions, ARC contribution, ARC payments, what would the ARC payment be for
the OPEB?
For that OPEB account?
I believe it is around $20 million in total. And in this year, you're putting in 16, 17, because the claims would go towards that. So you could use the 15.5 and the 1.5. That creates 17. 20 feels too low. Maybe it's in my report. 23 or 24 million, I think. I believe by the end of this projection, you are there. So by the time we get to 2033, 2034, if I remember correctly, we have reached that point. And then that's another reason we get to use the higher discount rate for full funding.
And with that ARC payment, that would reflect basically an assumption based strictly on our current fiscal years, not factoring in the all of those years where effectively we were putting in $0.
Right. Start from zero.
Yeah, so even if we were to increase to make the ARC payment, that wouldn't be necessarily addressing all of those decades of the accrued liability that's still obviously with us. And I suppose my other question here to wrap it up would be, was there any projection done on in that type of vanilla budget that I had described, what we would generally be looking for in terms of a general forecast on tax increases in whether this coming year or future years?
Mm-hmm. That's a piece that's outside of my not only expertise, but what kind of I do with the city council. So if you took column 8 there, that you should be able to use that for these types of questions. What is the tax increase needed to actually do this? Plus all your other expenditures. So I'm not ignorant of the fact that this is a big number and there's a lot more you're trying to do as a city than just pay pension benefits. This is, just from the benefit side, this is what the numbers are for not only fiscal 26, but really projected the next decade.
And so for the purpose of this presentation, at this point in time, we're not sure whether or not we may or may not be looking at tax increases of less than or greater than 4% in the coming fiscal years. That's just not something that we're, rather not part of the analysis this evening, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Oh, and before I forget, one last item. The calculation on the payroll for 2026, exactly how is that increase calculated?
Yeah, so the first step is to take last year's 55.2 and go up 2.5%. And so that creates the 56.6. Then the first five numbers are coming from their own valuations. So, for example, the retiree medical premiums is just what you pay. There's not a lot of work done on that one. That's just what you're expected to pay. The top four, we have formulas that each plan goes through to determine what the dollar amount should be to make sure that it's not only not falling behind but continuing forward progress for full funding. And those plans have been in place a long time, except for Police Fire 1 that just changed. But anyway, the idea there is the top five are solved for independently. And then if there's the OPEB trust contributions, the 1.5 becomes just the balancing item. What's left over, if you take the 56.6 minus those different categories. And so you can see it's quite small spread right now. But again, as I said, starting in fiscal 27, it's a pretty significant spread. And that's why we can have, pretty high confidence that the 2.5% growth for the city's perspective at the macro level has a high probability. So.
Okay, thank you. I just also wanted to make sure to clarify, and pardon me if I believe it might have been asked earlier, wanted to make sure that we were distinguishing this from the city payroll for active employees. Thank you.
Councilman Muto.
Thank you. Would you go back to page 9, please?
Okay.
Can you help me explain column 6? Is am I understanding that that is the current claims for OPEG, and then the contribution is in column 7? So we're already running a negative year over year. Is that how I'm reading that? So we're paying out?
No. So column 6 is your current, what you're currently doing, and then what we would project just what you're paying out in premiums/claims for retirees. Column 6, just paying out the general fund, you're paying for those. Column 7 is, in addition to that, you're going to put money into the OPEB trust in addition to. So
6 is the addition of columns 2 through 5?
8 is the addition of 2 through 7. Each 7, yeah, so if you add 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, you get column 8. Mm-hmm. Column 6 is just what we'd expect. Even if you didn't, if you hadn't decided to begin to fund the OPEB trust, 6 is just what you'd be paying for retiree benefits going out into the future. Column 7 is that balancing item. If you take column 8 minus 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you get whatever's in column 7. That's how we back into it.
All right. No. Not quite following you, but
okay.
I won't tie people up, but I can't get the numbers to balance.
Oh, okay.
Councilman Muto. I'm sorry, Councilman Knapp.
Thank you, Chairman. These calculations that you have here and projections, does that take into account contributions from the employee going into OPEB?
It does not. And it's my understanding those are going to net against column 7. So
so presumably with employees now paying into the OPEB funding, those numbers actually will look better.
Will be about $1.5 million less long term.
So when you come back next year, that chart will look more
right.
Favorable.
So we'll either add a column for member contributions and take it out of column 7 or something. Okay. The city's part should all come down by the amount of those member contributions.
And theoretically, if in future contract negotiations, if we shift contributions so that contributions from the employees go up,
correct,
it creates a better financial picture for us.
Correct.
On the city side. Okay. Just wanted to clarify if that was or not calculated in these projections here.
Not yet.
Okay.
Any other questions from members of the council?
All right.
Any questions from members of the council? Any questions, comments from members of the public? Please state your name for the record.
Hi, Michelle Comar, Ward 1 taxpayer. This is for the chair of the Finance Committee. Question. I believe it was last year there was an ordinance passed that the city would develop a audit for the expenditures and the health of the city's finances as a whole. Does this presentation fulfill that ordinance?
I am not sure on the answer to that question. I would defer it to the chief.
Good evening, Bill Facente, Chief of Staff. So this presentation is on the actuaries on the pensions. That's what this presentation is for.
Yes, thank you. I do understand that that's what the topic is. I'm just asking, are we done with fulfilling the obligation under the city ordinance to look at the finances citywide as a whole, which would probably require an auditor? I know that Mr. Newton has come here for the past 20 years. I've listened to his presentations, and I only see it as a slice of what the obligations on the taxpayer are. And that ordinance was developed to look at the big picture so that the city council and the mayor can make decisions, educated decisions, informed decisions of how to do the best with the taxpayers' revenue coming into the city. And by the way, I didn't hear the word taxpayer yet from the presentation side or any of the city council members. That's why I introduced myself as taxpayer, because the word city that is used in the presentation, I think could have been used to say, that's the work taxpayers' burden. So we haven't fulfilled that ordinance. Again, we're looking at the slice of the pie. We do the same slice of the pie before, with the school budget deficit and the bonds for the $350 million school construction. We need a big picture. It's not the first time I've asked for the big picture audit here. We have to get the General Assembly involved, if need be. We're not fulfilling our own city ordinances. And believe me, we have our own city expenses coming up with increased costs for materials that we're probably going to experience. We have the school deficit of $6 or $9 million, and we have those two school bonds for $350 million plus, because they're short on that. That's what the city council is going to look at, and the mayor, in the big picture. And I know that the question's been asked of Mr. Newton before, and please correct me. it was Councilman Marola that asked the very same thing I'm pointing out to you today. So you're telling us what is the best way, a best program, to manage our employee benefits, retiree, and health care benefits. All right, but at the big picture thing, you're not telling us, can we afford it? And those words are still ringing in my ears to this day, that we're not looking if we can afford this plan with all the obligations which we know are coming up. There's no guessing here. We're going ahead with the construction of two schools. You've got the General Assembly working on the, $6 to $9 million deficit in their expenditures halfway through a budget year. Who's looking at the big picture? The big picture is not the whole length in the mirror. It's cut off here. There's the whole rest to go. We're not looking at that. And I think I might just stop there. I just want to mention tonight's another important meeting for homeowners, property owners, and that's at the Public Utilities Commission. And I had to make the decision.
Michelle, let's keep on topic
right
for what we're here
well,
now, please.
I feel that this meeting and my attendance here was more important than that, though I'm going to be suffering for higher utility bills as well. Again, the big picture, the city council and the mayor are the only ones that have the big picture to work with. You don't represent just one entity of the city. You represent all the expenses. Sure, the numbers come out looking great here. But again, it's only a slice of what taxes could be used for, and not that we can afford this program. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Please identify yourself for the record. And I will again ask that you stay on topic for what we are here for right now, which is the pensions.
Yes, thank you. Ann Sheridan, Ward 9. So the question I have is, what do we consider fully funded? Are we looking to set a plan so that we're 100% funded in all of the pensions and the OPEC returns?
Joe, if you could come to the podium, please.
Yes, ma'am. All plans are working towards that.
So
into the mic. We couldn't hear you.
So, okay. So,
Ann, let Joe speak.
Yes, ma'am. All the plans are working towards that. Yes.
So, looking at countrywide, are all municipal plans based on 100% or is something less like 80 or 90% considered a viable, acceptable rate, amount to fund? Because I noticed we've got couple of the police pensions or police fire, we're really close to that.
Right. Most plans in the country are in that 80% range, but they're all targeting and moving towards 100%. Within the next 20 years, we're estimating about 75% of the plans in the country will be 100% funded.
So when we were in that same 20.
Right.
Okay, so then two other questions. One is that I noticed in the early presentation, there was a 10-year rate of return of.
Oh. 7.5?
No, it was lower.
6.5.
There was a 5-year that was much higher than the 10, and yet we're using 6.9.
Yes, ma'am.
Would it be more prudent, and I know it's costly, but it would be more prudent to be conservative in this use what we've seen over a long period of time?
That's a very good question. And I think if you take into account the entire structure and you see that you have that buffer going into the OPEB trust, that is actually that's the prudent piece. That's the piece that's giving you buffer in case returns aren't there. That's why I showed the 5.9. If we weren't doing that, and let's say it was only the police plan and that's all you were looking at by itself, then an argument could be made a lower assumption is more conservative. But I think if you look at this across the whole board, that the current 6.9 not only is acceptable, but it's a reasonable number to move forward.
So if the return comes in a little bit lower, it's going to be the OPEC contribution that's going to suffer. As opposed to
What will happen is there'll be less money accumulating in the OPEB trust, so it'll just take longer there. But it's still the city's contribution will not be impacted.
Okay. And my last question is, do you do this same review for the school departments?
Not individually. I do for the state plan for the teachers as a group, but not individually.
Okay. It might be interesting if we could force the school department to use the same company to do a review so we could be sure that everybody's on the same page and using the same assumptions, since ultimately it all comes out of the same pockets. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Is there anyone else that would like to comment or have questions? Please identify yourself at the
Joseph
mic.
Joseph Coffey. These numbers are based on a certain number of people you anticipate retiring every year.
Yes, part of the estimate is to take your current members, run them to retirement, and then retire them out as they get there.
Have you seen any trends because of changes in contracts, incentives, that people are staying longer, that those numbers may potentially change because of, again, incentives, contracts,
right,
things of that nature?
I would say that the recent experience last 5 years has been more retirements than historical patterns. Not a lot, but a little bit. But I think a lot of that has to do with COVID.
So people aren't sticking around.
Right.
They're retiring when they can because of.
Right. A lot of people retire pretty quickly after they're eligible. Yeah.
There's been changes in Social Security as well that seem to have incentivized, and that change just came this year as well.
Mm-hmm.
So those trends seem to be. Do you anticipate anything higher or lower?
We have adjusted that slightly this year, but it didn't move the needle much. It's not the main driver.
Not that big. So thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this issue? Anyone else have any questions or comments? Is there anyone else that has any questions or comments? Hearing none, Mr. Newton, thank you.
Thank you guys
for your presentation. I'm sure if anyone has any additional questions, we can certainly get in touch with you. Thank you. Finance Committee will now get back to its regular business.